Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome again. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. And also, I just want to wish everyone a happy Juneteenth tomorrow. And we're going to, in honor of Juneteenth, we're going to cancel our service tomorrow night so that you can spend it with family and reflecting on your life and all that God has given you. So that's what's going to happen. By way of announcement, I just wanted to share that I am flying solo this morning. My sister-in-law, Leslie, tested positive for COVID, and out of an abundance of caution and desiring to protect you, Pastor Ken and Leslie decided that they would stay at home and worship at home. So we wanted to not keep that from you at all. And also, tomorrow I announce it Monday night. In a couple of weeks, on July 3rd, we're going to have a very special vocalist sing a song for us. Miss Vivian is going to be singing on July 3rd, so you don't want to miss that. So many announcements. But today is Father's Day, and I do want to speak about a father's love this morning. And I want to begin by saying that there are two Greek words in the Bible for love. There is a lesser love and a greater love, and the Greek word, the first word is phileo, and that is a type of love that says, I love you for what you do for me. It's a more contractual love. It's a love that says, I love you, but I love pizza and hamburgers too. So it's a more shallow type of love. There's another word in the Greek that is agape, and that means unconditional love. And it does not mean that I love you because you love me. It means I will love you if you do not love me. That is the Father's love. And if I had a secondary title, it would be passing the faith along. So today we're going to begin. I want to share with you that there is a crisis of fatherhood in our world. I believe I've shared with you that I live by a cemetery, and on Mother's Day, they have to have police and traffic control. And today I shared with my mom, look, there is no one over there. We have a crisis of fatherhood. We hear terms today like deadbeat dad, absent father, who's your baby daddy? And to me, that is heartbreaking. We see mothers likewise willing to have abortions for the sake of convenience in their own life. We see fathers who leave their families, abandon their wives and children. This is not the plan of God. And I would say to you something shocking, that I did not have a good father. I had a godly father. They are worlds apart. We don't need good fathers that do good things. We need godly fathers and likewise godly mothers who serve the Father God, who honor and respect. And my prayer, if I had a prayer to pray this Father's Day, it would be, it's found in Malachi 4:6, when God says, and I will turn the heart of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Consider what has happened to our earth. There is a father who represented to me in the Bible a very excellent leader. Excellent. And his name was Joshua, and he was the leader of God's people, Israel. And Israel, at this present time, when Joshua gathered them together, they were slowly drifting back into idol worship, very slowly. It was a downward thing. And they had lost the momentum, and they had lost their first love. But Joshua gathered them together because they had won some battles against the Amorites, the Pezerites, and all the other ites that I can't name. And he gathered the tribes together and all the leaders together in what would be known to us today as a solemn assembly. And at first, when you read this, you might not understand that verse 13 is actually God speaking, but it transitions in 14 to Joshua speaking. And he's telling them that God has greatly blessed them because he promised to bless them and that God has kept his promise. But he's giving them an out. Have you ever had someone give you an out and say, you can do this, but you don't have to, or you can do something else? And here's what Joshua said in chapter 24 and verse 13 is God. And God says, and I, God, have given you a land for which you did not labor and cities that you did not build. You didn't do this yourself, but you live in them, but you dwell in them. I've given you vineyards and olives, thank you, Lilia, which you planted, and do you not eat of them? You did not plant them, but you eat. You did not build these cities, but you live there. I did this, God said, in verse 13. Now Joshua speaks up now in verse 14 to the people, and he says, now, therefore, because of this, fear the Lord, love him, honor him, respect him. Serve him sincerely so and in truth, and put away those gods that your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and just serve the Lord. And here's what he says in verse 15 to the people. But if this seems evil to you, which means terrible or a bad idea, unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Today, right now, make your decision. Who will you serve? Whether it's the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, some new gods, in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's not this speech about choosing that moves me to tears. It's that last line. But as for me, as for me and my house, guys, I got to let it make known who I'm going to serve. We all together will serve the Lord God. The first and greatest ministry we have is to our family, if we are mothers and fathers, husbands to your wife and to your children. A godly father provides for his children, protects his children, does not leave his children, does not forsake his children, sacrifices for his children as God sacrificed his son for us. My dad, my father, was an excellent example of a godly father. He was not perfect, but he loved the Father God who is perfect. And, you know, I love that Joshua told them, if serving God, who gave you all this stuff and helped you win all these battles, and that's us, isn't it? Has God not brought you through? Just say amen. He has. How many times? How many times has he brought you through? More than once? Amen again. And if he has done this, if you still think that it's not a good idea, Joshua said, then just don't do it. Then just don't serve him. You don't have to. You know, that's a pretty good message to preach, isn't it? It kind of frees us up around here, doesn't it? You can serve God. I'm going to serve God. My family's going to serve God. But, hey, you know what? I'm telling you the right thing to do, but you don't have to. You can go. You can walk out of here, serve whoever you want. Create a God of your own, if you like. But that's not what to do. But we need an example of a godly father. What does a godly father look like? And I want to visit today for just a minute with you again one of my favorite parables that Jesus told, the story of the prodigal son, which to me, I want to tell you, it's not as much to me the story about, let's say it like this, the bad we do as prodigals, but it's about the response of a good, good father, is it not? It's not really about the bad of the prodigal son. Yeah, he was bad, guys. He was bad, real bad. And so was I. And so were you. But that's not the point of the story. The story's not about the bad we do. It's about our good, good father who loves us and forgives us. So let's begin with Luke 15:11. And Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." And I always ask myself the question, you know, first of all, people say how daring it was for this son to go and ask his father for his share of the estate, the father not being deceased yet. It's even worse than that. Let me point something out to you. He did not ask his father for the share of the estate. It says he went to his father and said, "Give it to me." He demanded his share of the estate. Now, I don't know who your dad was. I've probably not met all of your dads, but I know who my dad was. And I never even considered going to him and saying, "Listen here, buddy Kenneth, I'm demanding you give me this." I already know what would have happened. And so I asked myself, it just was unthinkable. The Bible continues and says, and not long after that, let's say about 24 hours, the money, you know, had to clear his Venmo account, right? You know, it had to clear his Zelle account. So let's give him about 24 hours. I'm going to say he was already packed because that was in his heart already, was it not? He got all his stuff together, the Bible says, and he left to a far away country where he wasted his money on wild living. And I'm gonna pull from a quote. I forgot where I heard this. And whoever was speaking said, he left those who loved him for those who liked him. He left those who had agape love for him, unconditional love, for those who liked him, and they liked pizza and other things too. And so he left. But here's what this son was saying to his father, in essence, when he demanded his inheritance. An inheritance is given upon someone's death, correct? Am I correct? You don't get your inheritance usually ahead of time. You become an heir when your father dies. So basically, I'm going to tell you what this son's message was to his father. "I just wish you were dead. I just can't wait till you die. I want your blessing, and I want it now." And as far as I'm concerned, because here's how I know this. Let me tell you, I've done my homework here. This is how I know that he felt that way about the father. Because he could have, let me give you a different scenario. Instead of demanding the inheritance, he could have went to his father and he could have requested the inheritance. You know, this was a godly father and a good father. He could have asked for the inheritance, probably got it, knowing this father, probably got it, and he could have stayed home or in town. But he went to a Gentile country, and that means he left his church, the servants, and he left everybody. He left his father. He left and went to a faraway country. He could have got the inheritance another way. We are heirs. And so he was not just wanting the money. He was wanting out of the relationship with the father. That's what he was wanting. You've got to understand. But I always ask myself the question, what about this father? Now, I know my dad. I know my dad. Picture me, Pam. I'm walking in the room, and I'm going towards dad, and I'm telling him, "Hey, I demand it. I demand it. You know, someday it'll be mine, and I want it now. I've got places to go. I've got things to do. I want my inheritance now." Let me help you with what my dad would have done. I don't know who you think you are. And I don't know why you just said that, but you can just spin right around and walk away. You ain't getting nothing from me. You might get less. Your inheritance just got cut in half. Your allowance too. That's not how my dad operated. So I always ask myself the question, why did you do this? Why did you give this brat his share of the inheritance? And I do have the answer to it. In the face of such rejection to the father, we see that the father never quits loving him and gives him an abundant blessing. A great, great blessing, because that's who he is. He will not withhold the blessings. Have you ever seen someone who was not living for the Lord, but God seemingly had blessed them, blessed them, blessed them? He's sending them a message. Your blessing is all because of me, and I'm not going to quit blessing you, and I'm not going to quit loving you just because you reject me and you went away. But there's so much wrong here for this son that doesn't want. He was leaving the presence of the Father and taking with him the present of the Father. Just exactly what Naomi and them did when she came back and admitted it. She said, I went away full. I went away with the blessing, but I've come back empty. I want to tell you, God, you got to make some of us empty. God, if we are wanting the blessing instead of the one who blesses us, take it away from us, God. Take it away from us. It's doing us no good. And we're going to lose it anyway. We're going to lose it anyway. And how many times has God answered our prayers, given us those things we prayed for, that inheritance, that blessing, and we took it, and we went to a faraway place, and we squandered it with wild, wild living. And God does not withhold his blessing from us. We are blessed. You were blessed even when you weren't living for God. God loved you and I. And the problem was not really what the son did with the blessing. The problem was that he had no regard for the Father, the one who blessed him. That was the issue. It was a heart issue. But oh, the Father, oh, the blessing of the Father that we have been given. And what beautiful names we have for God. There are approximately, I think Pastor Ken and I went through them one time. There are approximately 198 names, I think we counted, for a God, or God, and I love Savior, Redeemer, Friend, Lover of my soul, Deliverer, Jehovah, but I think the most beautiful must be Father. It just must be Father. It's as simple as that. Well, it's no surprise that in this story that the money ran out, because the blessing is not the money, and the blessing is the Father. And it's also no surprise that a severe famine came to the faraway land and the son becomes desperate. And here's my prayer for prodigals. May you become desperate for the Father. May you become desperate. May the love of things loose its hold on you, and you become desperate for a relationship with the Father. So the severe famine comes, and may I say also that money can't stop the severe famine from coming. May I say that money can't stop the problem from landing on your doorstep. Money doesn't stop cancer. Money doesn't stop COVID. Money doesn't stop divorce. Money doesn't stop prodigals. Money cannot help you, only the relationship with the Father. And when you are away from the Father, you're also away from the blessing of the Lord. So this son takes a job feeding pigs, which an Israelite knew you weren't even supposed to go near a pig, touch a pig, eat a pig, nothing about a pig. And so the Bible says he was desperate, and he was so desperate he desired the food of the pigs. And I just say, amen, Lord, thank you for making us desperate. And thank you for making us hungry, God. May we be desperate and hungry for you, Lord, and hungry for more of the bread of heaven that you have. But one day, in his desperation and in his hunger, he begins to think. You know, first of all, he acts like a kid who's literally lost his mind. He did. He lost his senses, left him. And he starts to think of his father for probably the first time in a long, long time. And he's thinking about making a decision. He's tired of eating pig slop. I guess I would ask people, are we tired of eating from the pigs? And like Naomi, here's a guy who makes a right decision, who could be any one of us, to go home, come home to the Father. Let me tell you something. That's the right decision any time of the day. Come home to the Father. And he says, I'm going to see if my father will forgive me and have mercy on me. But the most beautiful part of this parable is that the father has been longing for this day. This father, no doubt, had been praying, had been waiting. He had been planning, we know. The Bible bears this out. He had been preparing, like Motel 6. He keeps the lights on. The lights were on. The porch light was always on. He kept the porch light on. The light of the Lord. and he kept his room ready. And I know he was prepared. But the son plans a speech, and this is his speech in Luke 15:18-20. I will arise and go to my father. That's a whole message all in its own self. And here's what I will say to him. I have sinned against heaven and you. You know what? When we sin, it's against God and sometimes it's against others. And he says, I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now he's talking. We got to get back to the Father, and we got to get back to serving God. And he arose. Now this is powerful. And let me tell you why that second part is. He said, I will arise. But many, many people say, I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to go back. But that doesn't mean they do anything about it. But this young man said, I will arise. And then we see, and he arose. I like that. It's so powerful. I'm going to get right with God. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a great way off, his father saw him. He saw him because he was looking, and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Let me tell you something. This is the ministry of the church. And we're going to see some servants get involved. These represent the people of God who serve God. But what I love is that while he was a long way off, this father was looking. He was waiting. He was planning. It was his dream come true. So I would ask you, do you have a prodigal in your life? Do you have a vision of them coming? Can you plan for it? Can you prepare for it? Prepare your heart, prepare the room, prepare your life. Are you ready? Do you have the compassion of the Father on the one who is lost? And by the way, this one was not lost at all. You say, well, we've got some lost souls out there. This wasn't even somebody who was lost. There's a difference between somebody who's lost and somebody who's a prodigal, who knows better, as Sarah Jake says, if you know better, do better. There's a huge difference. The lost just don't know Jesus, but this man knew the Father. And he left all on purpose, and still the mercy. And sure enough, the son sees his father, and the father never responds to the speech. He doesn't even talk to the son. He's so overwhelmed with emotion. Instead, he starts directing the servants as if this is all planned, because it was. And some of you were in my Monday night when I taught this one time, but I want to teach you again and tell you again about Jewish culture. What made this scenario so unusual was the fact that the father ran to him. Jewish fathers did not, and I repeat myself, did not run. They walked, they carried themselves uprightly. It was not allowed for them to run. They were elders to be respected. So, and here's another thing you might not know. To show even their ankles was against the law. But this father, in order to run, had to lift his robe and go running. It was considered disgraceful. And here you see this father running, but there's more. It was customary in the Jewish culture that when someone went out of the Christian community and when they dishonored their parents and their inheritance and the community, if that person came back, that son came back, they would perform a ceremony called the cutting off ceremony, the kezaza. It's spelled K-E-Z-Z-A-H, Jewish word. It was called the kezaza ceremony. And what would happen is the father stayed home. Now, the mother could go and beg for mercy, but the father stayed home because this was a dishonor to the father for a child to go off and cut himself off from the family and cut himself off from his community. So the father stayed home. But the elders of the city, if they seen a prodigal coming into town, they would go and meet him. And they would take, I brought a clay pot up here. I'm gonna toss it, but it's probably not going to break. They took the crepe clay pot. I'll do that later. And they threw it, and they told the young man, you have now been cut off from this community and your father forever, and you did it. You have been cut from all of us. All those pieces represented people. You're cut off from us. Now turn around and go away. The mother, if she so desired, could intercede and say, can he just work for us? They usually said no. No, you've been a disgrace and a dishonor. We don't need someone like you in our community. This father did not let the kazaza happen. And I promise you, it happened every time a young Jewish man came home. There's history to bear it out. Those elders would meet them. This is how they kept sin out. Because usually prodigals will do it again and again and again. But this father, instead of letting them perform the kazaza ceremony, he went running towards his son. He made himself a disgrace to get to his son and covered him and wrapped his arms around him, and they all saw it. What is this? They probably thought, what are you doing? But this father was so overcome with emotion, he didn't even talk to the son, as I said. He starts giving orders to his servants. In other words, it kind of represents a pastor or a father in a home telling the kids, get this, get this, get that. And here's what the father says. Go get the ring, the robe, kill the fatted calf. I mean, he's barking orders like this. Go get the ring, get the robe, get the sandals, get the shoes. Did you notice that those servants never said, what ring? Where's the ring? What robe are you talking about? Where are the shoes? Are they his size? What are you talking? And did you also know he didn't say go find a fatted calf? He said go kill the fatted calf. You know who the fatted calf was? The one he had been fattening up for this day. He was the dinner, the roast in the freezer for this day. That calf was destined to become the sacrifice, and not a pig anymore. A calf. I said, not a pig anymore, a calf. And he was destined for this day. They never asked a thing because they knew where the ring was, they knew where the robe was, they knew where the shoes were, and they had the fatted calf ready. And when that father started giving the orders, they started moving, and they started moving fast. And this father did not say, welcome home, my son. He did not say, for my son has come home. Let me read to you what he said. He said this, for this son of mine was dead. He didn't say he was gone, lost. He said he was dead. And he's been returned to life. He's been resurrected. I've just had my son resurrected from the dead. He has been resurrected. He who was lost, he is found. He's been resurrected. What a picture. Were we not dead in our own sin and trespasses? But Jesus gave his life, and were we not resurrected back to life again? And were we not prodigals? Every one of us here are either a prodigal or we were a prodigal, a former prodigal. And so our part in this story is not over. Even if we were a prodigal or are a prodigal, our part is not over. We transition to become and represent the Father in heaven, God. So, but there's even a little more to the story. What a picture of the Father. What a picture of mercy. What a picture of grace for us, for you, for I, that there will be no cutting off ceremony. You know why? Because Jesus got cut. He got cut on the cross so I wouldn't have to be cut off in a kazaza ceremony. They say it was one of the most humiliating things that anyone could ever go through. And it's often why Jewish young men will not come home back to their families, because they know what's facing them. Rejection, and they know they deserve it. Don't we all know we deserve the kazaza? Don't we all know we deserve hell? But here's the story of, we've got another brother to deal with in the family real quickly here. And I want to say this, come back home anyway, come back to the Father, even if it's a hard thing to do. And here's the reason why. We can all relate to the prodigal son, but there's another brother. And we see the father's love in dealing with him too. How do you deal with prodigals, and how do you deal with those who are prideful? There's a prodigal and a prideful son here. And Everybody's not going to be happy when you come to Jesus. Everybody's not going to be happy when you say, I'm coming back to God again. They're going to want the kazaza for you. A lot of people are going to want the clay pot broken. They're going to want to go to the town square and see you humiliated. They're going to want to see justice prevail. So here, let me just say this. Here's the older brother who comes on the scene, and he's like, what are they singing? Do I hear, look what the Lord has done? Do I hear, Father, I love you? Do I hear, how could you love me, Lord? What's all the singing about, he says. And so the servants, the other church people, tell him, we're singing because this guy's back in church. He's back at the Father's house. And your dad is giving the biggest celebration ever for your younger brother. It burned him so bad. He too had been waiting for the younger brother to come home. He had some things. He wanted to go to the kazaza ceremony. Where's the kazaza? What do you mean there's a celebration? And he tells his father this. I have kept all of your commandments. I serve you. I'm the faithful guy. I'm the kid that's faithful. I go to church every Sunday. I serve you. I've kept all your commandments. And my younger brother, he took your blessings. He threw them in your face, and he was out living with prostitutes. By the way, how did this younger brother know that he was living with prostitutes? Were you there? Were you there? How do you know he was living with prostitutes? Maybe he heard. Maybe he didn't. He just assumed the worst. But he said, my younger brother was out living with prostitutes, but you give him a party when he comes home. But the father doesn't even really rebuke him. You know what the father does? He reminds him that everything I have is yours. He reminds him of what he has in life. You know, sometimes when we see other people and we don't like it that person's getting blessed, we need to be reminded of what Father God has done for us and all he's provided for us. And you know what? You may have been good, but there's something here. I want to say this. This father is proving that God loves both the prodigal and the hypocrite too. The hypocrite that stays home and says, I do good things. It's not enough to do good things. What kind of relationship do you have? Yeah, the father reminds him that you still have a place in the kingdom. What's it to you if God blesses somebody else? What's it to you if God offers forgiveness to the one who has went so far away? And I'm a mother, but this story ministers to me. I don't ever want to leave the presence of the Father. I know what I have. I know of the blessings in serving God. I know of the blessings of having God's people help me and support me in my life. I know that. I won't take that for granted. And I'm not going, I also learned from this story, we don't demand things from God. He's faithful and he decides what to give us. You know, I've always said this about the lotto, and I'm not stepping on any toes. I know that some of my own family, you know, repented yesterday of having the lotto app, hello, Sandra, on your phone. You know, I'm repenting. I'm not having that, you know, kind of thing. So I'm not against the lotto, but I just, in fact, if you win the lotto, please tithe on it. But I will tell you this about me. I believe God knows my address. He's proven that to me. I'm going to give you a quick testimony of mine simply because my brother asked me to, but it is in my heart. For the past probably 3 weeks to a month, I have had severe back pain and hip pain and pretty much was looking at a hip replacement for the left hip of mine. I would go up my stairs and I could only go up like this, step one, step two, with two. I couldn't do this. Go up this way and this. I could not do 1 foot at a time because it would cause such great pain. And I would hold the railing going up my steps. And every night I was in pain. I'm a person who doesn't like to take Tylenol, anything. But I wound up taking plenty of it. And I've had two hip x-rays, osteoarthritis, you know, kind of junk, and going to have another back x-ray. And it was just getting like, God, how do people live like this? And I was in my car one day, and I was praying about another desperate issue, a relationship issue, family issue, and I was praying about this and saying, God, God, I need a miracle. I need you to do this. I need you to bring her back. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. And I realized the next day that I'm completely healed. I realized that I have no pain. And I didn't say anything to anyone for a few days because, you know, the enemy will tell you, well, it's going to come back. Don't be so quick with your testimony. I think I should have been quicker. I knew I wasn't in pain. I knew I was walking up the stairs. I can walk up without even touching the railings now. I know that I've had a touch from God. You know, could things happen? Could some, you know what? I just know I've had a touch from God. And I was asking God, I said, God, I remember praying to you for something else. And he said, I'm going to take care of that too. But I did this for you so that you would have hope for that situation. This involves other people's decisions and they have a right to choose for good or bad. But I did this for you so that you will know who I am once again. That you will be reminded that I'm the healer, that I bless you, that I love you, and I've got this other thing covered too. Everything that God has done in your life, the Father God should remind you that what you're facing today, he can also do that. And Willie, can you come get ready to play song, worship? And I'm so thankful. You know, when my dad died, I can remember praying one night and telling God that I am fatherless. I don't have a dad, God. Why don't I have a dad? And as clear as I've ever heard anything, he said, I'm right here. I'm right here with you. I remember when Lesbia's dad died. It's crushing. It's cutting. But we are not fatherless. You may have had a father that was much less than perfect. First of all, men, that doesn't prevent you from becoming a father because you have the best example ever, the Father God. You have the story in the Bible of the prodigal son. It's a parable. And I'm so grateful in my personal life. One of the things I am so grateful for is my parents, my mother and my father. And I am grateful for all of you who are my family. But I am literally surrounded, and I mean surrounded, and I feel safe, protected by the most godly men on the planet. My father, my husband, my son-in-law, my brother, the men of this church, everyone, I cannot tell you what that means to us as women, as girls, that we have a father's protection, that we have men of honor who really are good fathers. Lord, we are so grateful today. Father God, we're here to worship you. I came to thank you, God, for everything, just for everything, for every blessing from the time I was born and the blessings that will continue on because you can't help but bless us, Father God. Even when we do not choose to bless you, you chose to bless us. I thank you for the sacrifice, and most of all, I will forever thank you that you accept prodigals, that you took me back, that you took me back, and that there was no cutting off ceremony except the cross, that you cut your son. I can't imagine how that felt, God, to watch your son go through the kazaza, the cutting ceremony. I can't even imagine it because it was humiliating. The kazaza ceremony was always humiliating for a young Jewish boy.
It was humiliating for another Jewish young man, Jesus. And I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that you are a good, good Father. I honor you, God. We're gonna worship today.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.